I don't know how many of you have been watching the Olympics over the past month or so. The opening ceremony, which caused massive controversy. But realistically, it opened a conversation. But today is the closing ceremony of the Olympics. And for those who have been hooked on watching it, all you athletes or former athletes or want-to-be athletes, then I'm sure you've enjoyed the variety of stuff. Although this weekend, I have to say I was buckled when I saw the breakdancing and thought, how is that even an Olympic sport? And then when I saw some of them doing it, I'm thinking, how is that even an Olympic sport? But anyway, we'll not go there. But there's been a worldwide focus on all these people who have come to Paris and who have come to compete after years of training, devotion, dedication to their sport, nothing getting in the way of it at all. I don't know if any of you know anyone who is on Team GB, whether it be for this Olympics or whether it be for the Paralympics, which are coming. But this worldwide stage of sport suddenly became a worldwide stage of controversy. Because people with faith and no faith looked at that opening ceremony and were kind of horrified with what they saw, what was interpreted. And actually, the Olympic Committee had to come out and apologize to people of faith if that was how they were offended by what they saw on the screen. And it got me thinking about, if you were in that environment or if you were in the Olympic camp, if that was how the Olympics had opened, how would you feel about standing up for your faith? As you live for Jesus? How would you feel about representing him, never mind your country? Would it make it harder? Would people be bold in sharing the faith that they have that's empowered them both in their area of sport, but equally in their area of spiritual life and strength? Would they be willing to do that after such an outcry? Well, if you're on social media or if you've saw anything of late, it's been amazing to see young people gathering to sing worship to God. Multinations coming together to sing praise to him. Nobody was going to make them quiet. People standing on the podium when they were told that they weren't allowed to mention faith, giving God thanks, thanking Jesus for the strength. There's a couple of beautiful wee girls who'd won, and they were saying, listen, before we do anything, the first thing we do is we pray together. And we pray with our coach. We spend time in scripture. And she says, it's beautiful. And I thought, it is. And I was so glad that people were willing to stand up for who it is that they live for and who it is that they believe in. The German shot put winner, did anybody see her over the weekend? I think she had a wee slip or something had happened, and the interviewer had said, how do you cope when you have a fall? You know, what's your thing? What's going through your mind? And she says, I just sing. And he says, oh, you're a gospel singer, aren't you? And she went, yeah. What were you singing? And she sang the verse of a gospel song on the telly with this beautiful voice. It was inspiring to see. Nobody was going to keep them quiet. I suppose it is one of the highest honours you could ever get is to represent your country on the world stage. And whether it be for the first time or multiple times, as we see these great names of everybody's wanting to watch these people race, these people play, these people compete, expecting the win, expecting the gold, and the shock and the horror when it doesn't happen. Everybody's captivated. Now I get there's some people in here, like myself, I never saw much of the Olympics this year at all. I wasn't going to watch it, and then I thought, no, I will watch it, and then Fiona put it on at night, the highlights of different stuff, and some of it was amazing. Synchronized swimming, that's something else. Like, that is something else. Skateboarding, do you see the 50-year-old guy skateboarding? There's hope for some of you yet. But I suppose nobody's there to achieve any less than gold. That's your aim. That's your focus. That's what you're there for. That's what you want to come home with. And then you see those who are broken on the mat, who have missed out on that place, who have made a mistake,
And in some ways, their sporting world might have collapsed before their very eyes. It also made me think that there are people who have been watching this year's Olympics that in the future will compete in the Olympics because of the people they've been inspired by, through who they've seen and who they've watched. Maybe getting into a sport that they could never have imagined. But there was something just captured them. Thought, I want to do that. I want to know that. I want to experience that. So the world tonight is going to look at the closing ceremony and I suppose celebrate the medals that have been won. I think Britain have got 63 in total that we've won over this time. They were aiming for 50, so that's pretty decent. But who knows what this closing ceremony will bring. But one of the things that's encouraged me is these young people's faith, even when they've been told to be quiet. And it's inspired me. But I want to ask you the question this morning. Would you be able to speak out or shout out or sing out for Jesus even if somebody tells you no to? Or would the pressure was on? You see, the 2024 Olympics is no different to the 1924 Olympics 100 years ago. There was controversy back then, which opened a conversation. Because one of the things that I love, even in whatever it was that went on in that opening ceremony, whether they linked it or not, it got the whole world talking about Jesus. Think about that for a minute. People who had never thought about it, people who had never engaged with faith, looked and thought, what are they playing at? And it got attention on Jesus, whether it was meant or not. Can't argue with that in some ways at all. But in 1924, a similar thing happened. No much has changed. There was a Scottish athlete that I'm sure many of you have heard about, a guy called Eric Liddell. Eric Liddell was a phenomenal runner. He was an amazing athlete. And he had been chosen to go to Paris to represent Team GB. And when it came to his heat, and when it came to the race that he was meant to be running, it fell on a Sunday. And Eric Liddell said, I'm not doing it. And that caused chaos across the team, even to government levels, as people were coming to try and put pressure on him to compete. He was going to win them gold. They couldn't back out now, but for Eric Liddell, he said, no. Sunday's the Lord's Day. And nothing is going to get in the way of that. Now you might think to yourself this morning, well, that seems a bit extreme, Eric. But nothing was going to compromise and nothing was going to bend him. And nothing was going to take him away from his love and faith in Jesus. Gold medal or no. And I wonder what you would have done in that situation. If you were there to compete, and you suddenly find out that you're meant to be running and you're meant to be running in God's day. And you've got to make a choice. The race would have been over in seconds. But Eric wasn't for budging and he wasn't for bending. It caused massive controversy, but you know, people admired him. And he was handed a note. And this note had this verse on it from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. And this is what we're going to be thinking about this morning. Thinking about Eric's situation, refusing to run that race, and thinking about our lives today when there's so much pressure to try and take us away from Jesus rather than bring us towards him. The note said this: in the old book, him that honours me, I will honour. Wishing you the best success. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, in its entirety says this: therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promised that the members of your family would minister before me forever, but now the Lord declares, far be it from me. Those who honor me, I will honor, but those who despise me will be disdained. You see, what had happened was Eli's sons weren't living for God. They were creating shortcuts in the sacrifice to God and serving God. And God saw what was going on. And God wasn't going to let it go. He was almost saying, you're all in or you're no. And the promise for Eli that generations would follow his example and then their sons would follow that and they would serve and they would serve and they serve. But these guys were messing it up. They were allowing outside things and outside pressures to influence them in who they were, how they were serving, and how they loved God. And God had to say to them, he who honors me, I will honor. But those who despise me will be disdained. These are powerful words. And these are words that we need to think about and think, how am I living by these words today? Can I ask you today, does your life honor God right now? Does my life? And what does that look like? Will that impact generations to come because of my faithfulness to him, because of his faithfulness to me? Or do we create shortcuts? Do we look for the easy option? Do we try and shortchange God and not honor him in our lives? We might sound it. It says that in Matthew chapter 15. You might honor me with your lips, but your heart's nowhere. How does that work? But for Eric Liddell, as he stood with that note, and I'm sure as he read it, that would have given him the strength. That would have given him the motivation. As he then entered the 400-meter race, four times the length of what he had trained for. Now you might think, well, he was an athlete. That's all right. Do you know what Usain Bolt said about the 400 meters? I read this quote this week. It says that he avoided the 400-meter race as training is too hard. The most punishing race in the athletics, and it's absolutely brutal at elite level. So Eric Liddell was entered for this other race, which in theory he should never have won. In theory he should never have got a world record that wasn't broken for another 12 years. In theory, everything was against him, but he who honors God, God will honor. The success, I believe, came from him. Eric Liddell talked about that, about how God made him fast. And I think this is something that we need to be reminded of today, church. If we honor God with everything, no matter the pressure that's on us, no matter the pushback that we get that we thought about last week, then God will honor that. And God will be faithful and God will bless. And God will be with you. Even when everybody else is speaking against you, speaking bad of you, trying to destroy you. He who honors me, I will honor. I had to ask myself this week, John, are you honoring God in all areas of your life? In every area? Not just the bits that you find easy, or are you shortcutting? Are you messing about with what God wants to do because it suits you? Here's a quote that Eric said as part of one of his messages that he gave. Because Eric, the athlete, was also Eric, a preacher and a missionary as well. But he says this, and think about this. Every Christian should live a God-guided life. If you are not guided by God, you will be guided by someone or something else. Is there truth in that this morning? Is there a reality in that this morning? That's what life does when your focus isn't on loving God. When your focus isn't on honoring God. When your focus isn't living for God. When it's all about you, it's all about me. And that's what happens. And it's sometimes about everybody else
as well.
Are you living today to please God with everything? Or are you trying to please everybody else? Because I believe that's a demand that is on us. Another thing that Eric said was Christ for the world needs Christ. And I was thinking about that line as the opening ceremony controversy happened and everybody was talking about Jesus. And I'd love the fact that somebody, even as a result of that controversy, would look a bit deeper and find Jesus for himself. Because that controversy was there, when you think about it, it indirectly got people talking about one of the most pivotal moments in human history. That moment where Jesus took his disciples into that upper room and he broke bread and he gave them wine, as we're going to do today, as he shared with them with what was going to happen next. He was totally honest and transparent with them on the journey that he was about to take. It was setting the scene for the expectations that the disciples would endure, with everything that was going to happen. He had prepared them in that upper room for what was going to happen at the cross. And in a short time, that upper room would be an empty space because Jesus would be filling a cross. And as I said, faith or no faith, it got people talking. Even this week, actually, I don't know if any of you caught it in the news as well, that some Christians had got a bus and put writing on the side of it, stop attacking Christians. And the guys that organised it got arrested because of the message that was on the bus. But I wonder if it would get people thinking, get people talking, get people exploring, get people looking at your life and mine. And that's where the challenge has been this week, folk, for me, is I've been looking and going, if folks looked at my life today, would they see me honouring God or dishonouring God? Am I representing Jesus the way that I should? Are you? What does that look like? Am I willing to honour God today, even though it might cost me everything? I don't think we fully grasp that in our culture, in our experience of faith. Sometimes we're quite consumer-based when it comes to faith. When it comes to Jesus, I'll live this life of faith for the stuff I can get out of it, rather than the worship I can bring to it and the honour that I can bring to Him. Sometimes we can be guilty of that. But when you discover the freedom and forgiveness that comes in knowing Jesus, knowing the forgiveness that Jesus achieved at the cross, knowing that every single sin, everything from the past, everything that's happening now, and all our future sin, Jesus has dealt with it at a cross so that you can be forgiven. And that should cause us to honour Him with everything, because He's given us everything. It kind of makes sense. Our desire would be to honour God and love God. Our eyes would be open to those words that Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. And when you discover that truth, and when you accept that truth, then you will honour God as a result of knowing and experiencing that truth. The only way, the only truth, the only life. And how can we honour God today? Well, I want to just remind you of a verse that Jesus spoke in Matthew 22, verse 37 and 38. And it says this, and it's simple, and you've maybe heard it before, or this might be your first time. But if you want to know how you can honour God, if you want to know how you can live for God, if you want to know how you can know God today, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. Honouring God comes down to our love for Him. And as a result, we're going to love the people that are around us. We're going to love His church. We're going to love His world. We're going to love His commands. We're going to love His ways. It's all connected. And then we'll honour Him. We'll honour those that we love. Can I ask you today? Do you love God? Do Do you love God with everything? Do you love Him with all your heart? With all your soul? With all your mind? In another passage it adds, with all your strength. Do you love Him? Because if you do, is it reflected in our lives, in our hearts, in our souls, in our minds? Because one of the challenges that I know in my life is that I sometimes put everything else above where God should be, rather than putting Him over everything and in everything and see the blessing that comes from it. So are you willing to honor Him today? Because the promise is, if you honor Him, He will honor you. But there's consequences if we don't. And they're real. As somebody who follows Jesus and who loves Jesus and who has a relationship with Jesus every day, learning from Him, being inspired by Him, by His actions, His ways. We've been thinking about that over the past few weeks, haven't we? The crowd looking at Jesus and being inspired by Him, living for Him, trusting Him with everything, experiencing the miracles. As somebody who follows Jesus, we are meant to represent Him as part of Team Jesus. And what does that mean to be part of His team? What does it mean to be in Team Jesus this morning? What does it mean to be in Team Craig Albert? We're going to be thinking that about that over the next few weeks, continuing this wee thought. What are the disciplines? What are the devotions? What are the determination that we need to have? What's the commitment to discipleship that you and I need to have in order to get this right and honor God with everything? We want to allow other people to see what Jesus has done and is doing in our lives. And we should shout loud and sing loud and declare it whenever we can, no matter the backlash we'll get. It might be hard, right? But it might get people thinking, it might get people talking. Do we want to see God's people, us, put into action God's love and share that with others in our actions and in our attitudes? Thinking about Eric's stance in that 1924 Olympics was massive. Looking at a lot of these young people who are facing the 2024, I suppose that instruction to be quiet, but they've shouted loud. I wonder who it was that encouraged them to live out and to honour God. For Eric that day, it was somebody handing him a wee bit of paper that says, "He who honours me, I will honour." And that gave him the strength in that moment to face what he was facing. Passing on a wee note to somebody to encourage them to find Jesus, to explore Jesus, to experience Jesus, might be the change that happens and the transformation that happens in somebody's life because you've simply put something into their hands that makes them think. Don't leave here today without picking one of these up that ask the question, is there more to life than this? Because it might just get somebody because you're literally, well, that. How hard is that? But it might just be the strength to get them through. So as we finish this morning, as I've been challenged, I want to challenge you. Are you living honouring God today, or are you honouring yourself? Is it time to honour God in our everything? Honour God with our commitment. Honour God with our sacrifice. Honour God in our family. Honour God in our workplace. Honour God in our relationships. Honour God in our communities. Honour God by showing the compassion and love that we have for Him and for everybody. Because the one who says, "He who honours me, I will honour." But he who does not honour me, I will disdain. There's a disconnect. And I don't want that to be the experience. We're either honouring God this morning or we're not. It's as simple as that. And that might just be in a small bit of your life or in a big bit of your life, but can we sort it? I believe we can. How do we sort it? By commitment, to dedication, to devotion. Look at these athletes and the way that they pour their lives into their sport to be the best and to get gold. Well, that's what we're going to be thinking about over the next few weeks. We're going to look at what it means to be in Team Jesus, but Team Craig Albert. We're going to look at what it means to have that discipleship journey, that dedication, that service, and we're going to do this together. That excites me. And let's see what God is going to do. He who honors me, I will honor. It's a simple thought. But it's rocked me this world. What rocked me this week is I've looked at the world stage and thought, man, look at all these people shouting loud and singing loud and speaking out, even when they've been told no to. Now it's our turn. Let's just pray and then we're going to sing a song to finish together. Focusing on Jesus. Father, forgive us this morning for the times where we are living and we're not honoring you. It might be in the things that we're doing, the things that we're saying, the places that we're going, the people that we're with. Forgive us, Lord, for the times that we've messed up because we're too busy focused on ourselves, consumed by ourselves, that we've not even given you a thought and then wonder why everything goes wrong. And I want to thank you this morning that as we sit here, that nobody's too far gone. I want to thank you today that as we sit here, you're a God who can transform lives. You're a God who can forgive. And you proved that by going to a cross to die for us. And I ask today that as we sit here and as we reflect on these words that Eric was given all those years ago, 100 years ago, to the words that you're giving us today, Lord, that would strengthen us and encourage us to run the race with perseverance that you've marked out for us. Help us to honor you today, to love you with everything, to honor you with everything, and to see the difference that that makes. Being part of your team, being part of your family. Lord, I pray these things in your name. Amen.